You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Welcome back to Community Connections, and now I have with me Cindy McLeish, our local Member of Parliament and also the Deputy Leader of the Opposition. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan. Good afternoon.
It's great to have you back.
Perfect day in the valley.
It's terrific, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Couldn't get a better day. You want to talk a little, or we're going to talk a little bit about the emergency evacuation that's coming up.
And it's going to be an interesting day on Saturday for the residents of Three Bridges, Gilderoy and Powelltown, as they embark on this exercise to, I guess it's a bushfire preparedness drill to see how it goes, because like so many areas here, you know, there's really only one road in and one road out.
And it's better to prepare than all of a sudden get caught out when it happens, isn't it?
That's right. But with this evacuation exercise, and when I first heard about it, I heard it on the radio and commercial radio, and I thought something had happened overnight when they said, the residents of Gilderoy, Three Bridges and Powelltown are being evacuated. And I thought, oh my goodness, what's happened? And you know, so the media grabbed it, and it got quite a lot of attention. It got press newspapers as well as on the radio, and I think that's still in the planning stages exactly how it's going to roll up, and it's not compulsory, so not everyone will evacuate, but then not everyone will leave on the day of a fire either.
No, that's true too. So the plan is, like, the police and the CFA and everybody's involved in the day, aren't they?
Yeah, look, it looks as though all of the emergency services are involved, and to what extent, I think they're still trying to work through that. But at the end of the evacuation exercise, everyone's getting together at the Powelltown Footy Club, and so that there'll be a bit of a community debrief, and I'll certainly be there for that to hear, you know, and see the good, bad and the ugly.
Well, and you probably need to know more of the bad and the ugly than what you do of the good stuff, don't you? Because the good you'll just continue to do. But you need to, I mean, it's while you can practice on that day, in the case of a fire, there's no practice, is there?
Yeah, and it's not like further out in the Warburton Highway, you know, we've got the fire refuges. There's two fire refuges because that's essentially, you know, one way in and one way out. And if you keep going down the Warby Highway, you're just getting further into the bush. So they've got the East Warburton Primary School's a fire refuge.
Yep.
And it hasn't had to be used yet. And at the CFA station at Millgrove.
And you hope it's never used. But fires are a reality, unfortunately, aren't they?
They are. Yep. And I don't know whether there's not a need for a refuge out in that area around Powelltown. You know, people, it'll be interesting actually, because other neighbouring brigades have got different roles in the drill.
Right.
But, you know, I think at the same time, if there was a pretty bad fire, those neighbouring brigades will be out busy doing other stuff.
True.
Rather than come in and rescue everything for these people. But depending, I guess, on the nature of the fire. But so it'll be interesting, and maybe it says we'll need a refuge out that way.
And some of the fires, I mean, they travel at huge speeds now too, don't they?
Phenomenal.
You just can't outrun them.
No, and what we also have, we have a lot of people that have done tree changes. You know, so we've got families around that have lived with fire for decades.
Yep.
And there are even people around who 1939 was... They only have to be 80.
Yeah.
Or if they're 90, they'd, you know, be a 10-year-old. They'd remember quite well. But there's a lot of new people come in. And I know at King Lake, and it's really quite alarming, that the number of turnover of people living there.
Yeah. And so some of them have not had any experience with fires at all, have they?
None whatsoever. Yeah. And which I find quite scary is that some of them don't even realise that there's been, you know, the catastrophic fires that there's been.
Yeah, I heard that some of them don't realise that they've come into in areas where there's been bushfires before.
Many times before too, you know.
And
10 years ago, that's not long ago. But,
not at all.
You know, some of the housing is obviously out of Melbourne, so it's cheaper as well. So people come looking for that change and the cheaper housing, you know, better affordability. But don't realise it. And even on Black Saturday, we saw people fighting in thongs and shorts.
Yeah, that's scary, isn't it?
Mm. One of it will say, actually, though, one of the a long-time CFA member was telling me the other day, stretch jeans. So people would always wear heavy jeans, denim, because of the protective element.
Yep.
But the stretch jeans have got a chemical in them that can melt and stick to your skin. So, yeah.
So you wouldn't think about that.
No, you wouldn't think about that. You just grab your jeans, stick them on.
And I suppose that's even worse from someone who's moved from inner Melbourne, because they wouldn't even think of wearing jeans full stop, you know, to protect the skin.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, that's so important. But you really need to have the heavy pair of pants around that you can pull on in times of fire. And this person was saying to me, look, they don't know that some of those simple messages now aren't out there that people need to know, you know, what do you need to wear?
Good point. You need
to cover your skin. You know, wool is better than most other fabrics.
Other things. Cindy, they tell me they're closing down the road through the Black Spur for a few days.
They are. What, today, yesterday and tomorrow? Because they've been doing quite a lot of work, or they're going to be doing quite a lot of work. And it's a pretty big disruption, actually, going... if the spur's not open to get around.
Well, it's about 80 kilometres detour or something. It's a huge detour.
I'd say it'd be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're coming up from Coldstream, you know, you really need to know early on that it's closed. Yep. Now, the locals obviously have an idea about it. They've been told and can make arrangements. But what Vic Roads are doing, they're removing 12 trees. And they had a community session in Marysville a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that was unrelated, was it?
Completely unrelated. Right. So the community had called a meeting about the Black Spur and the condition of it and alternative routes and what could be done. Yeah. And Vic Roads turned up to that, and blimey, it was packed. It was absolutely packed. I couldn't believe it when I got there to see the number of people. You know, all of Marysville must have been there, and Taggarty and Buxton and plenty of people from Healesville had turned up, and Vic Roads were there, so they also talked about the closure for these 3 days. And people had said, well, right, for 12 trees, can you get two work crews up there and do it in half the time? But apparently they've got to use cranes, and so the trees are too close together, so you can't get the cranes working that close to each other. It's not safe, so they couldn't do it all at once. So they were, you know, going to try to do that.
Yep.
I did hear there's big signs at Yark that aren't they're either not working or they're certainly not providing the warning.
No, because I was up that way on Monday and I didn't see any signs coming through Yark that were working.
No, that's right. So apparently, you know, these are supposedly, and they cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to erect these massive, massive signs just near the centre barriers in Yark, just before Yark and then before Molesworth. And they said that they could use them for warning things, and somebody rang me yesterday to say, you know, this is when they should be having the warning. So I don't know if they're not working or that Vic Roads haven't kind of got their act together to do that.
Hasn't turned on or something. Yeah, that's not good.
But people were, you know, they get concerned about slow traffic on the spur, and the pullouts aren't sealed, they're gravel, and the lines aren't marked, and there's some areas where they could have safety barriers or could be reinforced a little bit. So people had...
So there was a lot of things other than just talking about trees on that night.
Oh, loads. They had an arborist. A lot of people would know Scott Gentle from Healesville. He's an arborist, and he talked about... you know, identifying trees, but, you know, you've got miles of forest inland, and a tree can be 10 metres in from the road and be the one that falls over and knocks another one, and, you know, so it's hard to manage.
And they can still look healthy on the outside too, can't they? And they'd be rotted out on the inside.
And, you know, we know, and everyone there, you know, knew that trees are going to come down.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing anyone can do to stop them, but when they come down, and someone had said, look, you know, one day Vic Road's website said the trees were still down. The road was still closed, but it had been open for 2 hours. And they're saying, look, Vic Road's, you know, you've got to tell people what's going on. So the community were really agitated and anxious and had some really great ideas about what could be done. And Vic Roads are going to do some spending a couple of $1 million sealing it, and they're doing some works at the minute while the road's closed.
Terrific.
Which is good. Yep. You know, like, they've got to take the trees out, so great to do the other works. But hopefully they'll do a bit more.
Well, it's good people came along with their ideas too, wasn't it?
And
they
were.
Listened to.
And look, there's some old bush tracks that go, a lot, certainly a lot of the logging trucks, but some of the parks tracks that people are like, oh, you know, we should be able to detour around, go through here, they need to open this gate or they need to do that. There wasn't a lot of love for some of those suggestions because it only sort of solved a little bit of a problem and those roads mightn't be any good for everybody. You know, if you've got a boat, you don't want a boat going through.
And the trucks will go down them.
Yes.
You can see that. So. Cindy, I know you've had a busy day and you've got a whole lot of stuff on today, though your office told me that you had a lot of stuff on. But one of the things that I'm a bit intrigued about, you've just come from the Yarra Glen Kinder. Tell us a bit about why you were there, please.
The Yarra Glen Kinder had an official opening today of their new entrance foyer. Might sound a bit funny, might sound a bit like the opening of an envelope, but it is something that the Kinder community have been driving for 5 years to try and tart up the front of the and the entrance to the kindergarten to make it feel really warm and welcoming. And, you know, they had a grassy area that didn't look so good, and they decided that this could really be improved. So Sally and Shannon probably 5 years ago started to think, well, what could we do as parents?
So it was parents who
who got onto it and thought, well, what do we, you know, how can we do this? What can we do? And they started to get ideas. Seeds started to get planted. And you know, with what happens in communities when somebody starts to get an idea that they're not letting go of.
Yep.
And how do we do it? We fundraise. What's it going to look like? So they spent a lot of time.
Terrific.
Getting all of that organised. And then one of them applied for a grant. She saw some grants available for, I think it was inclusivity for preschool. So she applied for a grant so that then that allowed them to take that next step and really get some of the big stuff done. So what it meant, you know, there's, even though it's the one entrance, but you can come from the park just below it. They've got a security gate there and from the street, whereas a lot of cars would park in certain areas.
Yep.
So it's allowed easy access, but it's got a good ramp and it's got these beautiful big mudstones, I think they are, that kids can sit on at the front. And
that's terrific, isn't it? And that all came out of a couple of parents wanting something a bit better.
And, you know, you think about it, at a lot of those community-run kindergartens, that's exactly what happens. And a lot of, you know, you even have to just look at, you know, the spot behind us at Wurrialik. You know, that was led out of the community who had an ugly spot here and thought, how do we make that look better? And then the parents really cared about the kinder.
Yep.
And, you know, their kids aren't at kinder anymore, but they came back and...
But the trouble is, by the time they've got to go and the kids are gone. But, I mean, it just shows you, though, that what the community can do when you get a few people that are really passionate about any subject, doesn't it?
That's right. And everyone got behind it. And, you know, that fundraising, I guess, is important. And taking the time to apply for a grant, you know, like that's there's often grants out there, but you need someone who knows how to do it.
Yep.
And we often provide letters of support. So, you know, if it was the Yarra Glen Kindergarten, it's somewhere I've visited, I know very well, I know what they're wanting. So we will often provide a letter of support for all sorts of different organisations around the electorate to say, look, you know, this is a dinky dime mob.
Yep.
They're not somebody that's just going to
take the money and run.
Take the money and run, so to speak, that they've really got the community at heart. So congratulations to them. Now they're ready to move on to the back area. But
you
know, little bits get done bit by bit. And certainly over the last 5 years, you know, they've made a lot of inroads.
And probably along the way too, they had some volunteer help as well.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. They did say they had a bobcat come in. I'm not sure if that was a paid bobcat or whether it was one of the parents, which is often the case. I know at Yarra Junction Primary, you know, that I was there one time and they said, look, a parent's got an excavator. So those sort of things can save schools so much money. So they can actually put it into getting an extra resource, you know, with the kinders.
Yep.
When they get that grant, it means that the money that they get can actually be used for something else.
Do something else. Terrific.
Yeah.
Cindy, tell us a bit about the Yarra Valley Railway.
I don't know that I can fit in their ghost train this year. It's been on my list for ages to try and get to experience Halloween on the train, and they do it really, really well. But because they've been doing so much work on restoring the railway line between Yarra Glen and Healesville to run the historic trains, they kind of got a little bit busy and haven't run the ghost train for a few years, but you know, they deck it out all a bit like a haunted house, and they have actors come on and do all the spooky stuff. And well, what a fabulous idea.
And they've also got, on the Saturday and Sunday, they've got one that's not so spooky for the little kids.
Thinking of everybody, aren't they, down there at Yarra Valley Railway. And look, there's lots going on down there, and it's not always people can see, and sometimes people don't think much is happening, but you know, the railway line itself isn't visible from the road in a lot of spots, so you don't really see the amount of work that they've been doing. And
it's all volunteers again too, isn't it?
Biggest volunteer project in the country.
Is it?
Yeah. Look, really remarkable.
And so thousands of hours of unpaid labour by people who never really get recognised.
Yeah, look, it's really quite extraordinary. Brett Whelan is sort of, you know, project manages a lot of it, and he's had that background himself. Yep. And of course, there's a whole lot of blokes there who love trains. <That's>
I wonder why.
Yeah, that's their hobby. But, you know, from all sorts of people with, you know, trades, retired tradies, and they've virtually rebuilt the Yarra Glen Railway Station from the ground up.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
They had various grants because, you know, you do have to buy materials, and you do have to collect the materials. And so if somebody's giving away rail line or sleepers and it's in Wodonga, you got to get someone up to Wodonga to bring it
back. And you can't go up with a car and trailer either.
Yeah, you can't go up with a car and trailer. You need some serious gear.
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, they have those rides every Sunday. I think they're on the hour or the half hour. And they're fairly popular. You always see people on them. Yep. And so now the ghost train is an additional way, you know, for have something interesting and fun for people to come and do in the Yarra Valley.
Which is going to be, it's on... I've just got something here. I shouldn't be making all the noise over the microphone, but I can tell you exactly when it's on, if I ever get
it. Is it Halloween the 31st? I'm not quite sure when the 31st is.
No, they're running it...
on the weekend, are they?
Yeah, they're running it this weekend. It runs on Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th. And there'll also be, for the little children, the preschoolers, it's called the Little Train of Spooks, and that'll be on Saturday and Sunday, the 26th and 27th.
Oh, the Little Train of Spooks, that's so cute.
Yeah, Little Train of Spooks, and they'll even have face painting for the young ones, lolly bags to be given away, and a not-so-spooky train ride.
Look, it's a beautiful precinct down there at Healesville. You know, they've done up one of the old goods sheds, and it looks just like it's brand new, you know, terrific. And as I said, the Yarra Glen Railway Station, and the work is happening, you know, all the bridges are done between Yarra Glen and Healesville, so there's lots of work being done on yards because they've got to keep things, you know, the trains there, and so it's a really great project.
And it just shows you when volunteers get together with a common purpose, just how much they can do.
And because of that, because of the amount of volunteerism, they've been able to access state and federal grants.
Have they?
And that's really important because there's a lot of stuff that they need to purchase to go with it, and it costs a lot of money. So, you know, they've had good support at all, and from council, good support from all level of the government. And so I hope people get encouraged and go out.
Go
the
along there
train.
At the weekend for
my
the
daughter.
Trains.
My daughter, we missed it when I first got elected, and she was probably the right age, and she's just turned 21, so she's not so interested anymore.
She still might like the spook train.
Well, I reckon it could be fun.
Cindy, you've been out, and there are a few groups that are really the backbone of our whole neighbourhood, and one of them CFA, and you've been out amongst a few of them lately.
I have. This is their annual dinner time, and often many of them do presentations. And on Saturday night, I was at the Healesville RSL with the Healesville CFA.
And I bet there were some, when I say old-timers, I don't necessarily mean old people, but some people there that have been for a long while.
Yeah, there have been. And some people get recognised for, you know, 40, 50 years service at times. Yeah, it's really quite extraordinary. And, you know, you need to think of, the CFA isn't just the volunteer firefighter. It's the people in the comms room, and it's the people that are backing up doing a whole lot of the other work that's helping them get to where they need to get to, and supporting them from that way. So, you know, people have different roles, and they all get acknowledged for their time.
And apart from that, I mean, what you're saying is about the other groups. I mean, there are people that just do the paperwork, and there are people that just answer the phones and all that, that don't fight the fires, isn't there?
That's right. And one of the things that they do at Healesville, which I quite like, is they also acknowledge people for the number of turnouts that they've done.
Oh, and right.
You know, they gave some stats out which surprised me, actually, was more than 50% of false alarms of their phone calls.
Have
of
they?
Their calls, yeah.
Deliberate false alarms, do they believe, or just...
No, look, they, and sometimes, you know, the phone will ring at 2 a.m., or the pager will go off at 2 a.m., and they'll look at the address and they'll think, oh, I'm sure that... that's a false alarm. There's a couple of places that I think tend to have a few more false alarms. And they think, do we get up? And, you know, like, do I respond to that? And you know, they do, and they all get out of bed and go, and it's a false alarm. And but, you know, you never know.
No, I just that's the reason why they could not go, isn't it?
Yeah.
That it could be. But, I mean, we just don't think about these men and women getting up at 2 o'clock and if by the time you turned out and the adrenaline would be pumping, like, you wouldn't get to sleep again till 4 o'clock, would you?
No, of course. Yeah. You get, you know, you go out and you see it's a false alarm and you have to do all the work around that, then you go back and then you're still probably wide awake having, you know, sat bolt upright probably in bed.
So there's been quite a few of those dinners around of late,
hasn't it? Look, there are. I think Badger Creek has got one next weekend and not... maybe the, not this one, the one coming. King Lake had one that I attended to recently, you know, and there's lots of them on. And Buxton actually did a very a big lunch at Saladin Lodge over there at Narbathong. Beautiful, beautiful venue. And they hadn't done dinner or anything for quite some time, and they had to do a lot of acknowledgements of life members of the CFA and life members of their brigade and, you know, 40-year, 50-year service recognitions and posthumous ones as well. But, you know, they made sure that everybody...
was recognised.
It was recognised, and I think they've caught up. But, you know, again, it's as good as somebody who's organising it and who wants to make sure that all of these things happen, and
that's,
you know,
terrific.
So good on the brigades for getting out there and doing their bit.
Volunteers do a terrific job, don't they? You've got a bit on this afternoon, so, and this evening.
I do. First of all, I'm actually heading over to Gladysdale Primary School. You know, I've got some 50 schools in my electorate, and
Heaps, isn't it?
Heaps, and you try and get to them all. And, you know, I'm Shadow Education Minister, so I'm trying to get to others around the state as well. But I'm over to Gladysdale this afternoon, because just because they're small schools doesn't mean that they shouldn't get the attention that they deserve. So, popping over there, and tonight the Millgrove residents Action Group is having a meeting as well, and they meet very regularly, monthly, and do a lot of great things, and I've talked about them before, so this is one that actually works in my calendar. So, you know, I'm in the middle of 13 nights out in a row.
Sure.
Yeah, I am starting to get a little bit weary, but you know, this is a good one. I can go to it tonight. So they always have lots of projects and lots of ideas.
Do they?
Yeah, they're really, really terrific. So Looking forward to that one tonight.
In the Upper Yarra U3A, we had them in here a couple of weeks ago telling us about their U3A through their AGM. You went to that?
I did went to that, and there were ukulele playing, singing,
yes.
Members of the U3A, and what a hoot it was. You know, they had their AGM at the Yarra Junction Bowling Club. There were a lot of people around.
Was there?
Yeah, a lot of people came, actually. Yeah. And, in fact, when I got there, the car park was full, and there were buses, and I thought, oh my goodness, they've bussed in people from Warburton or whatever. But then I had a closer look, and they were school buses going to the pool or the basketball.
Oh, right.
So, there were lots of people there, and you know, they have so many activities. You know, if you want to do mental stuff, you know, like with cards or crosswords, there's groups. If you want to get out and walk or do yoga and Tai Chi or language.
And they've got theatre nights.
Yeah, they've got so many things. Yeah. So there's really something for everybody. And most, you know, pleasing is that they've got now over 200 members.
Terrific,
and that's
isn't it?
Been a real hurdle for them, that they've always had, you know, around 180, sometimes 190, maybe a bit less. And to get over the 200 mark has been a real achievement for them. So congratulations to everybody at the Upper Yarra
U3A,
because you're doing a great job. I've been to the Healesville one too, and they are absolute winners over there too.
I was just going to mention them, because they come in here too, and they've got their big concert coming up in November too, they do this big extravaganza every year, and that's coming
and
up.
It'll be big, let me tell you, it'll be big. But
I went to it last year, and it was fabulous. And I mean, these U3As, and I know I talk a lot about this, but I think social isolation of the aged is going to be a really, really big problem, and we just need to get people out off the couch and have a reason to get up. And not only that, but you stimulate your mind when you're around other people, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And so many things, you know, it's sometimes is hard to get up and get out, and it might be difficult if you're less mobile, but even if someone picks you up or, you know, you've got a bus, you can try and get out to these places because you create a lot of friendships as well. And it might lead to catching up with somebody for coffee the next day, and it's another outing. Right. So there's loads for everyone, and it's really so important because social isolation for older people, you know, and once you become isolated, the harder it is to break out. So you've really got to prevent that from happening, you know.
And one of the things I know that both the U3As have told me that very often what you just said is true. They go down the street to do the shopping and all of a sudden they run into one or two people and 3 or 4 hours are gone and they finish up in a coffee shop or they finish up somewhere for lunch. And I think that's really terrific because if not, I mean, it's a really tough life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cindy, it's been fabulous having you again.
Where does an hour go?
An hour's gone, isn't it?
An hour's just gone.
But it's been great having you again, and you'll be back the 4th Wednesday in November.
Sure,
and
will.
And we'll talk about a bit more that's going on.
Yeah, Santa will be nearly here by then.
He is nearly gone. Thanks very much, Cindy.
No worries.
Bye.